Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you along with John. John, I'm officially saying I've had it with the 110 plus, but we've still got a couple of days to go. Somehow we will get through this week. It's the Buckmaster Show on Tuesday, the 9th of July, 2024. We're midway through now our 14th year with our radio project. We are in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios, part of the Bustos Media campus here with five radio stations under one roof. We have our worldwide live listening. You can listen to my program live at buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. And of course, buckmastershow.com, the place for all of our podcasts. Pretty much every show we have done since January, first week in January in 2011. For our telephone interviews, we'll be doing one coming up here shortly, the Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. In fact, we're going to begin the program with our telephone interview with Dr. Dave Wells. Dr. Wells, Research Director for the Grand Canyon Institute, which is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization dedicated to informing and improving public policy in Arizona through evidence-based, independent, objective, nonpartisan research. Dr. Wells joining us on our live line. Dr. Wells, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing a lot better, I think, than you are. I'm at 7,000 feet in New Mexico, where it's like 70-some degrees.
Yeah, where are you? Are you over in the mountains there and around Santa Fe?
Past that. I'm at a place that's called Cleveland, New Mexico. It's in between Las Vegas, or I heard told it's supposed to say Las Vegas, New Mexico, and Taos.
Wow. But, I've been through that area. know it pretty well, and I can imagine it is a very, very good place to be in the second week of July. Dr. Wells, I want to talk about this report that the Grand Canyon Institute actually reviewed the analysis of online education at the University of Arizona. The report was commissioned by the university and the Board of Regents and completed and executed by Ernst & Young, a very well-known firm. And the report had some interesting findings, and some of the headlines have been saying, well, they're not losing the online university. They're now at a break-even point. I guess that was kind of the positive spin. But let's take a deeper dive into some of the findings. And we should point out that it was the Grand Canyon Institute that had to go ahead with a public information request to get this this information made public.
Yeah, actually, other news outlets did it, and I got it through them. But originally it wasn't a public document. But I think, you know, the key thing on the breaking even part is it's extremely misleading, because the way the University of Arizona Global Campus works is the same way Ashford worked, is they teach 5-week classes. So their students usually take one class at a time. But they pay their faculty almost nothing. So it's a 95% adjunct system. So only 5% of their faculty are full-time. The rest of them are adjuncts. And their adjuncts get paid less than $2,000 a class, typically. Just as a comparison, they do have adjuncts at the rest of the University of Arizona, and they are more likely to get paid about $5,000 a class, which is less than what faculty members who are full-time typically get paid. So they're basically paying peanuts, and because they pay such low wages to the faculty, as a consequence, they're not losing money. But that's not really a way to operate an institution with any level of integrity, in my mind.
What is their enrollment like, and is it going up, Dr. Wells?
No, it's been going down. So when they bought the Ashford back in the late 2020, it had approximately 35,000 students. The latest headcount from the fall of 2024 was 24,000 students. There's the University of Arizona Online, which is a separate entity, which has been gradually growing, and it has about 9,000 students. And so it's essentially the market environment which the University of Arizona Global Campus works in is increasingly competitive, and students have other choices. They have better choices. And so a lot of them are no longer going there. Because the other thing that we pointed out, I mean, the the Ernst & Young pointed out that the marketing costs for the students who are for the they have paid leads and organic leads. So paid leads are ones you've paid for and tried to get on. Organic leads are where students have actually just come to you. And 85% of their leads at University of Arizona Global Campus are paid leads. They have a very low rate in which they actually enroll. And we estimate the overall their paid leads cost over $11,000 a student to get enroll. Wow. We think overall their costs are at least $5,000 a student just to get a student to enroll. That's just marketing costs. And that's not a good model either. So they have low outcomes on top of it. So it's a pretty atrocious entity that the University of Arizona has acquired and continues to operate.
And by contrast, public institutions typically pay in marketing costs to enroll a student as compared to this over $5,000 for the global campus?
So, for ones that have a lot of on public institutions that generally have a lot of on-campus students, there's a survey that reports about $300 in marketing costs. We estimate, and we think these estimates, by the way, are possibly on the low end because they didn't report exactly what the enrollment rate was for organic leads. But we estimate that University of Arizona Online pays about $1,500 per student, so less than a third as much. And then we do think in online that there's higher marketing costs, and I think those should be scrutinized. I mean, one of the things I've been advocating is I think the Board of Regents really needs to step up. I mean, I think one of the things that was really great about the Ernst & Young report was it made public a lot of information about how the online entities work, including the University of Arizona Online. And we need to have that information for all of the state universities, and how much they're paying for marketing costs relative to student enrollment and how many students are actually succeeding at the school. And so we can have some idea about what they're actually paying faculty and so forth. Because I think the online model has a potential to be really problematic. And I think UAGC is sort of an example of sort of the worst illustrations of how that can be.
And Arizona State University's gone all in on online, but you're saying we really don't know what their marketing costs are like.
I don't know what their marketing costs are. I do know what they pay the entity teaching the teaching thing. So I mean, I used to teach at Arizona State University, including Arizona State Online, and they pay only about $250 to $300 per student per three-credit class to the entity that is actually taking the course. The rest of the money goes somewhere else at ASU, and there's no transparency about it. And right now, ASU is doing what they call excellence at scale, and which in my mind is moving in the direction of becoming a diploma mill. So basically, because in an online environment, you can make the class as big as you want. So I was talking to one former colleague who last summer taught classes that had 50 students in them. He taught two sections of them. This summer, they just made the cap 100. So he got paid the same amount or half as much as he got paid last summer. The university made twice the same amount of money or more, but he got paid half as much. So that's the way ASU Online is going. And I think there just needs to be a lot more scrutiny about that, because right now there really isn't. And we need to really sort of see where the money's going and make sure that students are actually getting quality education and we're not getting simply a way in which universities make money.
Going back to the global campus, for the first time first year students, what about the completion rate, Dr. Dave Wells?
They're pretty bad. So the completion rates, I don't actually have it like fully in front of me, but they're really low. I think it's in 20-some percent. And these are first-time, first-year students enrolling. A lot of students transfer, so it doesn't cover everybody, but generally Arizona Online is also at a similar level. So these are very poor completion rates. And again, you're paying all that money to get the students in at the first place, and you need to really improve that. And to improve that, you need to provide a lot more support. But I think part of the problem is that they're essentially recruiting students who are not fully prepared to go to college because they're working full-time and trying to go to school full-time, and that's a really hard thing to pull off. And I think if you don't give students enough information up front or provide enough support in your whole program, you're going to have lots of challenges. And that seemed to be what the report indicated. That, the problem is Ernst & Young is not an academic entity, so they don't really know how colleges run. So they didn't really play up I mean, they mentioned that as a concern, but they didn't really go into much detail about it.
All right, Dr. Dave Wells, didn't have a chance to get into the new state budget. We'll bring you back, hopefully, here in a few weeks.
Yeah, yeah, because people can go online and play it. Because we have a thing online where you can go to budget. You go to our website, or arizona.budgetchallenge.org, and they can do their own budget and see if they can outdo the legislature. But they can just go to our website and find that as well.
All right. We'll get you back on the air in a couple of weeks, Dr. Wells, to talk specifically about the budget. Hope you enjoy Cleveland, New Mexico, up in the high country, 7,000-foot elevation up in northern New Mexico. Enjoy your time there, Dave. Thanks.
I will. I'm glad to join you, and hopefully it'll cool down a little bit in Tucson.
I hope so. Dr. Dave Wells, Research Director for the nonpartisan, nonprofit organization known as the Grand Canyon Institute, based up in Phoenix, dedicated to informing and improving public policy here in Arizona. All right, Shelley Fishman is up next. Shelley is with me in studio, and I guess you could call it a flat day on the markets. We'll talk with Shell about that and more after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care. pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of life. Our name says it all.
Shelly Fishman is a financial advisor and business consultant in Tucson, Arizona. Contact Shelly via buckmastershow.com or directly via email at saf824@earthlink.net.
And let's welcome now Shelly Fishman back to the program. Shelly appears each Tuesday at this time, and as pretty typical of Tuesdays lately, market seems to be in a kind of drifting.
Yeah, the market has been kind of drifting for the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It's been drifting upwards, mm-hmm. so that's a good thing. And if it continues to drift upwards at its current pace, we'll have a typical year, you know, around 11 or 12% through most of the indices. But what's hard to understand is that the market is seemingly positively disposed toward what the Fed is doing, but continues to be optimistic that Mr. Powell and company will back off on these interest rates, and you know we'll get at least one or two interest rate cuts this year. That seems to be the consensus among those people who make up consensi.
Well, we keep waiting for these cuts, and you've advocated that we're a little late to the table here on the cuts.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, but let's see what happens. You would think Powell was speaking today, and sometimes when he speaks, that can affect the market.
Well, I've gotten 17 or 18 different language dictionaries to interpret what Powell is saying. He is deliberately, of course, being vague. He doesn't want to make commitments. When he does make a commitment, it'll be after, you know, one of the Fed meetings. And that's appropriate so long as he doesn't mislead you on the way. He appears to be happy with the progress in terms of containing inflation growth. And certainly the labor market has proven to be very resilient, which contradicts normal economic policy, which says in order to control inflation, you need to have high unemployment. And we've not got high unemployment by any means. But over the past couple of months, it's ticked up a couple of tenths of a percent. On Friday, it was announced at 4.1% unemployment after a pretty good labor report that showed 206,000 new jobs created. That said, those two things can coexist because people are coming back into the job market. So what we're seeing is essentially stagnation.
You think something else is going on, Shelley? We've had some pretty important landmark, if you will, Supreme Court decisions. How is that affecting the economic picture?
Well, and let me preface this by saying I'm just beginning to do some research on this. I have a funny feeling that this year's Supreme Court decisions are affecting decision-making at the highest level of corporations in ways that I find alarming. For instance, we know that corporations have always said they hated regulation. Mm-hmm. Regulation makes it very difficult for them to maximize profits. Under regulation, when you know what the regulatory environment is, you can optimize profits, but you can't maximize them. And, you know, the traditional guideline for top executives was that your only job is to maximize profits. That's what Milton Friedman said. And until the past couple of years, it was the shareholders as the stakeholder, and that shareholder richness or shareholder value was the most important, and if not the only important thing that managers had to go for in looking at what their jobs were all about. You know, with some decisions from the conference board over the past couple of years, other stakeholder interests were becoming more and more, I thought and hoped, more and more in the forefront of decision-making when you're a manager. Look, management at its core, top management, at its core is the allocation of finite or scarce resources. That's all you do as a manager is, you know, you got 17 departments in your company and you've got 17 department heads saying, "Umi, umi, umi, I need more money, mm-hmm. resources, I need more employees, et cetera, et cetera." Mm-hmm. You never have enough. Mm-hmm. And so allocating those resources is what managers do. If the most important thing you can do is earn money for your shareholders, then, you know, each of the department heads gives you a forecast of what they could do if only they had the following resources. And then, you know, you should take the top seven or whatever, and that's where you put your resources. It's not that simple, and I'm not intending to paint it as simplistic. But if you begin to consider the interests of other stakeholders, those stakeholders being employees, customers, the community, your suppliers, if you take a look at their interests, they can very often be at odds with each other. Mm-hmm. For instance, you assume that customers would like to get your products and services at the lowest possible price. That's not always true, but as a general rule, you assume that the community wants you to be a good neighbor. They want you to contribute to the community, you know, add your intellectual power
philanthropic,
to the community.
Philanthropic. Charity giving.
But also
sure.
not to abuse
good
things.
Neighbor.
Don't pollute the air.
Right.
You know, don't ruin the roads.
Right.
Do the things that you need to do to make sure that we have a good level of potential employees, and therefore you're working with universities to make sure that what you, and also trade schools, to make sure that they know what your interests are in the long run. Employers also, you know, have a series of interests that are very, very important, and, you know, employees can make or break a corporation. So I was very enthusiastic over the past couple of years to see that the guidance coming out from some of the intellectual communities, the brain, you know, the brain, what's the
brain
word?
Trust,
brain trust,
mm-hmm.
et cetera, was giving guidance to top managers to take more into account the rest of the stakeholders than just the shareholders. Mm-hmm. And for a while, we were actually seeing big corporations do that. Now we get the Supreme Court mm-hmm. coming up and saying, well, for one thing, all of this inclusiveness and hiring and everything, you know, we're not so sure that's the right thing. And we're not so sure you should be regulated that way.
Hmm.
Okay. And now SCOTUS has come around and said, also, you know, these people who are doing the regulating, the people
yes.
who are regulating
the regulators,
you,
government
the
regulators.
Government regulators, mm-hmm. we're not so sure they actually have the right to be doing that.
Boy, does that throw a lot of question marks at
Bingo.
Businesses. How are
so if you're a manager, mm. now you scratch your head and go back to, wait a second, let me just worry about my shareholders and let me push the rules as far as I can within the law, understanding that the law, and by law I mean mm-hmm. both, you know, criminal law, but also what the regulations are, may be changing, especially if we sue the regulators.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're seeing is some lack of certainty, uncertainty, in terms of what corporations are going to be allowed to do and what they may do over the next couple of years. And I think, Bill, and I can't prove this yet, but I think that that's one of the reasons we're seeing some squeeginess mm-hmm. in where the market is going in terms of stock price.
You know, it makes sense. The uncertainty in the boardroom is certainly trickling down to the markets.
Exactly.
I mean, it makes sense.
Right.
To me, anyway.
It makes intuitive sense.
Yeah, intuitive.
We know that intuition isn't always
of course.
Your best guideline.
No, but I think you're onto something.
Yeah,
here.
And so I intend to explore that a little bit more. One of the most immediate ways you can get some clue as to what the investment community is hearing is from the quarterly reports that top managers are required to give to their shareholders. If you start getting fuzziness and change in terms of where our earnings might be and how regulations are either limiting or encouraging those earnings, then I think we'll begin to be able to, you know, make linkages between what the Supreme Court has done and uncertainty in the investment community. Now, there's a couple of big bridges that need to be crossed before we get there. But this coincidence of Supreme Court says something, and all of a sudden the market starts floating.
Yeah, you got to wonder why is it floating. Yeah, so we'll see. Keep an eye on it for us, Shell.
It's fun.
All right, Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure, and hope you have a great rest of the week.
Cool,
and I don't know how you're going to do it, but stay cool.
Take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Of course, it's very hot this week. In fact, we're looking at 110 and plus. You know, it's all relative. Palm Springs had 124. That's outrageous. Las Vegas, where I used to work, 120? All these, like, a lot of these all-time records are falling by the wayside. So maybe we're kind of fortunate that it's, you know, only around 110. But I do a lot of gardening and trying to water. I'm still trying to do it just once a day. Last summer, I would be out there twice a day. But this is all leading me to talk about green things. So if you're looking to see what is some plants that will survive this kind of heat, Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, their knowledgeable staff will walk you in the direction and actually take you to where the plants are that do pretty well. And I've got some of them in my garden that are hanging in there. Let's put it that way. GreenThingsAZ.com. Their sister business is called Zocalo Village. Some beautiful imported pottery and items from really all over the world. Green Things in their 53rd year of business. They are open daily at 3384 East River Road. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. But we are not on the telephone. We are live with Troy Hutchison from GoAZCats.com. And Troy is our contributor. We're lucky to have Troy contribute talking about Wildcat sports. He's one of 24 regular contributors to the Buckmaster Show. And Troy, it's serendipitous that we bring you in today because it may be hot out there, but football is in the air up in Las Vegas, right? What's going on?
Yeah, you know, today's the start of Big 12 Media Day, the official start of a new era of Arizona athletics and really just a landscape of college football in general. So Arizona goes tomorrow, luckily. So that's why I'm in here today.
Sure.
So they will be going tomorrow. But
when you say going tomorrow, this will be like on ESPNU, one of their ESPN channels, and they'll actually have all the coverage, right?
Yeah. So ESPNU will pick up Arizona's coverage at 1 o'clock tomorrow with Brett Brennan from 1 to 1:15, and then players after that. I think it's Jess Fafita on ESPNU from 1:15 to 1:30. Mm-hmm. But Arizona also begins the day before that, and my boss Matt Moreno of Rivals.com will be out there for us, collecting all things Arizona athletics for GoEasyCats.com. Mm-hmm. They go around, I believe, 9:30 in the morning local time here. So we'll have full coverage of the Brett Brennan press conference with interviews with players and coaches.
Yeah, I think back in the day, and I followed college football since I was a little kid, these kinds of things, these media days, Troy, as you know, it's like it used to be August, early August. Mm-hmm. Now it's early July. And there's a lot, this one has a lot of significance, though, because Arizona's joining a new conference. It's a reconstituted conference. For our listeners who maybe not follow sports carefully, what does this Big 12 conference look like?
Yeah, you know, it's a 16-team conference that reaches across from Arizona, Utah area, all the way out to Orlando, Florida, with Central Florida and West Virginia, Cincinnati.
Geography does not make sense for this conference.
Yeah,
but I
no.
guess the days when a conference used to be all, you know, teams from the same area, that's kind of out the window, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, it got thrown out the window, really, when USC and UCLA joined the Big Ten, which is mainly a
Midwest-Northern
conference, you know, with the flagships being Michigan and Ohio State.
Yeah.
But once that happened, everything went out the window. You know, you have UCLA, USC there, Oregon, Washington there, and now Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, BYU, and joining a conference with West Virginia and Cincinnati. It's a crazy time to be in college sports and college football. I agree with Chip Kelly before he left UCLA. They probably should have made this thing a football thing only in terms of this craziness of realigning all the conferences and then leave the non-revenue sports, maybe even basketball as well.
Baseball,
softball, all those non-revenue
sports.
Because
think of the cost, Troy Hutchison, traveling. Are we going to have, like, the University of Arizona volleyball team is going to have to travel back to Orlando, Florida?
Yeah, and I think where you make it up, unfortunately, is, you know, you've seen Arizona softball, Arizona baseball, volleyball, I'm sure, women's basketball. Mm-hmm. Go to these events, specifically in softball and baseball. Go to these events in Florida. Go to these events in, you know, California, which isn't that far away, like the Mary Nutter and stuff like that. You're probably going to see less of that. You're probably going to see more teams play at home, especially UCLA and Arizona, where you have your, you know, Kindrea Classic. You have your Hillenbrand Invitational.
Where but schools in, from other places
are close
schools
by.
Schools are, you know, they're closer.
Close by. And, you know, you're probably going to see a lot of Arizona UCLA, a lot of Arizona Oregon, a lot of that kind of stuff in the near future to make up for those traveling costs.
So I've got this. I've got the all 16 teams here. So is this it looks like it could be you could kind of say that this is a basketball conference on the surface. I mean, are these some of these teams are not big football schools?
Yeah, you know. The Big 12 outside, when you look at football, outside of Oklahoma State.
Kansas State has had a pretty good football tradition.
It's kind of up and down, but basketball-wise, you're talking about a conference that, to me, would rival the old school Big East back in the 90s and early 2000s. I mean, Arizona, Kansas, Texas Tech, Baylor, Iowa State, I mean, Houston, these are some big-time programs that it's going to make for a juggernaut in the middle of the season. And once you get to the tournament, those teams will be prepared.
So the one of the things that come out of the media days will be the who votes on – is it the sport? Is there a certain group of sports media people who vote – who pick where – the teams are going to finish.
Yeah, you know, that's
how does that work?
That's selected really by the universities themselves. They nominate what media members they feel should have a right for the media vote. It is very select in terms of it's two or three from each prospective university of who covers them. So usually that is your newspaper, probably a columnist as well that covers the team, and then maybe one other media person when it comes to online and that kind of thing. So it is a very select group. I know they just voted for that, and that should be coming out. Arizona, actually it did come out. Arizona was picked to finish fifth in the Big 12, with one first place vote. Kansas State, I believe, was in the top half. Kansas was in the top half, and Utah was picked to win the Big 12. So it is very select, but it's everybody who has been covering the teams for quite some time.
Are there two divisions in football, or is there just the 16 teams?
Well, you know, it's kind of what the Pac-12 did this past season in terms of you might have your north and south like the Pac-12 did, but it's going to be the two best records that play for that Big 12 championship game. They want to get it right. They want to have the two best teams there, and you don't want a situation where, let's say, one half of the Big 12, you have a 11-1, 10-2, 10-2 team. The other half, you have an 8-4 team. Well, you won that other half, so now you get to play the 11-1. No, they want to make sure you have that 11-1 versus the 10-2. That way you have the best chance for the college football playoffs.
It seems Arizona's got a great offense coming into this year.
Yeah, Arizona has a lot of returners, especially on the offensive line. Obviously, Noah Fafita, Tetero McMillan. They added depth at the running back position with Merritt from New Mexico. They added another transfer from Ole Miss. So there's a lot of talent there. But the question on offense becomes, who's going to be that number two receiver outside of Tetero McMillan now that Jake Cowing's gone and some of the guys from last year? And who's going to be the backup quarterback for Arizona? Yes, Noah Fafita will probably start all 12 games. But if worse comes to worse and you need a guy that comes in for a series or maybe a couple game stretch, if Noah Fafita gets hurt, you never know in football, who's going to be that guy? And right now, that is probably one of the biggest question marks on offense, along with the offensive line depth. Because, yes, the starting unit is very solid, but who are going to be the guys behind them that start a couple snaps throughout a game?
Noah was named college freshman quarterback of the year, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was named college freshman of the year, Pac-12 freshman of the year,
yeah.
And has been on the list for Heisman Watch this upcoming season. Again, redshirt freshman. You know, mm-hmm. it's a little bit mm-hmm. different from a regular freshman. Arizona's seen that in the past with a new Solomon during that 2014 season. Redshirt freshman takes over, has a phenomenal year, one of the best freshman years as a Arizona quarterback. But it was a redshirt freshman. So, yes, he's a freshman, but he's a redshirt freshman. So you have that year of experience. But now you're entering a situation, a whole new coaching staff, whole new offense coordinator. I'm sure there's going to be similarities to last season's offense, but there's going to be a happy middle. So there's still going to be a learning curve to a new offense.
I think this is a team that there's a lot of cohesiveness, it seems, with this group. They could have, a lot of them could have said, you know, I'm out of here when the coaching changed, but they made the commitment that they wanted to keep this group together.
Yeah, and you know, that was a big thing for Arizona, having no Fifita and Totoro McMillan and Jacob Cowan and Jonas Ivanea.
There's kind of a Polynesian connection that sort of goes back to the Tomi days.
Very much so, which was severed during the Rich Rod and Kevin Sumlin era. The Polynesian connection really wasn't there. And Jed Fish and his staff did a good job of helping bring that back. And now Brett Brennan is going to do that as well, given that he is under that Tomi coaching tree. But, you know, when you look at what happened with that, Noah Fifita and Totoro McMillan were the driving forces. And when they got their NIL money, they wanted to make sure that the rest of the team got some as well to distribute it amongst the team. You know, they did get theirs, but they wanted to take care of their brotherhood, their guys. And really, that is one of the main staples that you see in a Polynesian community is that family environment.
Oh, yeah. Family environment.
And that's what Arizona is, and that's what they have brought to Arizona, and that's why Arizona was able to keep much of its roster.
All right, Troy Hutchinson sticks around for segment number two with Troy as we wrap up the Buckmaster Show. After we take a break, we'll talk some more Wildcat football and this entering a new era here for the University of Arizona Athletics. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. Pima Association of Governments, the Greater Tucson Region's metropolitan planning organization, is developing a new long-range transportation plan for the next 30 years. Shape your transportation future and tell us your transportation project and funding priorities. Take the survey at pagregion.com/2055. That's pagregion.com/2055.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations, they receive no government funding.
please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit QLMC.com to view our open trials and express interest.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. Boy, of course, it's very hot here in Tucson, but I can give you a recommendation where you can go where it's going to be a lot cooler. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's about 5,000 to 7,000 foot elevation. And we led off our show today with Dr. Dave Wells of the Grand Canyon Institute calling in from, I think he's up by Taos, New Mexico. He said it was at the 7,000-foot elevation, and he was very glad to be there and not here in Tucson. But Silver City and Grant County, we like to say this time of year, for sure, you're going to get 10 degrees cooling. It can be as much as 15 degrees or more. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, certainly worth the drive to cool off. The website to start your planning, southwestnewmexico.org, and then take a really nice trip. Send a lot of our listeners over to that area of the Land of Enchantment, southwest corner of New Mexico. Troy Hutchison is with us from GoAZCats.com. And speaking of New Mexico, actually, is that Arizona's first home game?
First game of the season, first
from the University of New Mexico, yeah.
Season opener.
Yeah. How do you think they're going to do attendance-wise?
Yeah, you know, whenever you have a team like New Mexico, it's a little bit harder. But when you have the hype of Brett Brennan in the new era, Noah Fifita, Tittero McMillan, and coming off the year that you just had, I think it's going to be very well attended. I think total attendance for Arizona is around 51,000, 52,000, somewhere in there. I expect probably somewhere between 45,000 to 47,000 for that game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's probably about like 86-87% capacity. Mm-hmm. That's a good rate for a team against when you're playing a team like New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Not that far away. Maybe you'll get some New Mexico fans as well. But just the hype of the new era and what you have coming back, I think it's going to be a very well-attended game.
And then when we get into the conference play, who will be coming to Tucson, Troy?
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at Texas Tech, that old rivalry back from the Border
Conference.
Yeah,
the Border Conference featured Texas Tech and a school by the name of Hardin Simmons from Texas, and there were a couple of other ones.
And Texas Western, which
used to
be Utah.
That's right, yeah. So. Now, of course, is the University of Texas at El Paso, UTEP. But anyway, so that's kind of interesting, that old rivalry, the Texas Tech rivalry. Who else is coming?
Yeah, you know, Texas Tech, their fans travel. Arizona State, that's going to be like a state fair like it usually is with a sellout. And then, you know, I think a sneaky one might be West Virginia. I know it's a long way away, but that's a very good fan base. And same with Houston. I think anytime you get these Big 12 schools into your stadium, your attendance is going to go up because these fan bases are very passionate. They're very good fan bases. I remember, and I know this is Big 10, but still that Iowa State region when Arizona hosted Iowa when they were number 9 in the country. That was back in the Mike Stoops era.
Yeah.
That stadium was sold out. You had a lot of Iowa fans. There was a section full of yellow. That is one of the loudest games I've ever heard at Arizona Football Stadium.
Again, I was at that game. Yeah, I agree with you. Very
loud. It's
Big
10, but
yeah,
you're talking about same regionally to Iowa State.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So the growth is this. Who knows where these conferences are going? I mean, we've said 16 teams. Could this conference expand to, say, 20 teams? Is the growth factor continuing, or is this pretty much what you think we're going to see for a while?
You know, it's hard to say in this era of college athletics, with everything going on in terms of what the SEC and Big Ten are doing with expansion and their TV deals, and eventually you would have to think moving to more of an NFL system for college football when you're looking at maybe two conferences of 40-something teams, mm-hmm. And then they fight for a playoff and then a national title, mm-hmm. and everybody else is kind of left in the dust. I do think maybe the Big 12 expands to 20 at some point, mm-hmm. but for how long, mm-hmm. is really the question. Again, TV is the driving force behind this, so it wouldn't surprise me if one day, 4 or 5 years from now, we're talking about Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, Colorado, BYU in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. And then some of the Big 12 schools in the SEC, and then the rest, mm-hmm. of them left in the dust. I hope I'm wrong. I hope this, mm-hmm. lasts for a while, because, yeah. I hate realignment and having to go through it in terms, mm-hmm. of the media side of it, because it's a lot to deal with. But it seems like we're moving to a two-conference power. Mm-hmm. And you definitely want to be a part of it. You don't want to be left in the dust like Oregon State and Washington State were.
What are they going to do, those two schools that didn't make the cut?
They're still technically the Pac-12 right now. You know, they're getting the money from that. But for football, they're playing Mountain West schools for their quote-unquote conference games, but will be part of the non-conference. So that doesn't affect the Mountain West Conference Championship. Mm-hmm. And then for basketball, they're playing West Coast Conference teams, and probably it won't affect the West Coast Conference teams as well. But you don't want to be in that situation. So if you can keep on growing football at Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and BYU, you should be fine, mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, it's about TV and it's about football, because football is the driving force behind all money in college athletics.
And are the players getting paid? Mm-hmm. Now, our football players are getting paid now, right? This, tell our listeners briefly how that works.
Yeah, you know, likeness, which, right. you hear the term NIL a lot. Uh-huh. And really, it kind of opens up everything for college athletes that they weren't able to do in the past. Mm-hmm. I know an example of softball. You know, I knew a softball player that, you know, she was saying, I wanted to run camps, like, you know, pitching clinic or a hitting clinic for youths and help, mm-hmm. them train for softball, mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe charge 30, 35, 40, mm-hmm. a person. You couldn't do that in the past. That, okay. would be an NCAA violation. Uh-huh. It got to the extent where, you know, you go on a first date and you got to ask the SID, oh, can this person pay for my meal, or is that an NCAA violation? Mm-hmm. Probably not, but you want clarification of, mm-hmm. that. That's all out the window. Now with NIL, though, with college football, it's not more about, you know, working a camp and all that. You can do that now. It's now about a sponsor paying you. Let's say EG's here locally, uh-huh. Let's say they pay a player $400,000 for an EG sponsor. Now, that seems a little outrageous for an EG sponsor, but I'm just giving, yeah. an example. And I don't know, they have an EG's name, you know, the Jonas Avinea Hawaiian Wave EG or, mm-hmm. something like, mm-hmm. that.
But that they wouldn't wear legal. Like, commercial logos on the uniform.
No,
we haven't gotten to that.
No, we are
that point yet.
There is no NBA level.
But there
at
will
this
be
point.
Commercial logos on the field. Is that now permissible? I've heard something about that.
Well, you know, back in the day, Arizona was approached, and I forget which casino approached them, either Desert Diamond or Del Sol, about stadium right naming.
Yes.
Now, that's always been able to do. Arizona, yeah. didn't do it because back then, gambling wasn't, you know, yeah. as widely accessible as it is now. But, you know, if it's not Desert Diamond or Casino, yeah. Del Sol, it could be, you know, Lucky Wishbone. It could be Raytheon. It could be something like that.
Yep.
But that's always been there. That's always been an option for
All
the
right.
university.
Troy Hutchison of GoAZCats.com, and a quick overview about your business. Go ahead, GoAZCats.
Yeah. So follow us on Twitter at GoAZCats.com or me at THutch1995. You could also check out our website at GoEasyCats.com. We will have Matt Moreno up there in Vegas tomorrow covering all things Arizona athletics, getting you video interviews with players and coaches, and then I will do the writing portion here in town. We'll have full coverage of that and full coverage of Arizona athletics leading up to training camp, which starts July 30th. So right now we are breaking out position by position breakdowns, and today we will have the quarterback, okay. position up.
All right, Troy. Thanks. Have a great day.